You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S-T.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. It is my day to fly solo today, and so I am going to talk to you about a lot of different things. We're going to talk a little bit about Tuesday night's game, some of the stuff we saw in the game against the Reds. The Dodgers won, and so a lot of interesting stuff happened there. I'm also going to have some follow-ups on Vince's episode from yesterday, just a couple things that he talked about that I wanted to touch on from maybe a slightly different point of view. And then I'm going to talk about the roster cuts that are coming up. Dave Roberts said that they will be cutting some players on Monday. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that with some predictions and whatnot. So that's the plan for today. But first, I want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, let's do some follow-ups on Vince's episode yesterday first. First of all, he mentioned Rockies opening day. He mentioned that the Dodgers are going to have fans in the stands for the home opener. And on Tuesday, there was more news that the Rockies actually basically roughly doubled their capacity for opening day. They went from, I think it was 25% to 42.6% or something ridiculous. Anyway, so not quite doubled, but a lot more seats available, which hopefully for people who Dodger fans were hoping to go to that game, hopefully it'll make prices a little bit more reasonable. The tickets are going to start going on sale on Thursday, and obviously Rockies season ticket holders will have the first dibs on those, and then from there, they might, if there's any left, they'll go available to the public. But I've been looking at the secondary markets. The Rockies are actually the closest stadium to me, where I live here in Utah, and so I've been hoping that my boys and I will drive out to Denver and go to that opening day game if the prices get reasonable. And as of right now, they're still ridiculous. I did find they did some cheaper ones, quote-unquote cheaper ones, showed up on StubHub on Tuesday night for only $800 a ticket for seats in the top deck. And that's before fees, I believe. I'm just looking again right now. Oh, they are starting to get more reasonable. Real-time update, people. The bad seats are currently $500 before fees on StubHub. So $617 each is the cheapest one available right now on StubHub. But literally 3 hours ago, the cheapest one available was $1,550. So I think people are starting to see, with the added capacity, the people who bought up tickets just to try to make money are starting to see they need to sell them quickly. And so they're putting them more reasonably priced. And I'm hopeful that by the time once all the tickets that are going to become available are available, maybe we can get down to a couple hundred dollars a ticket, and it might make it reasonable for my sons and I to go to that game. So that's what I'm hoping for there, but that was big news. The Dodgers, I think, are going to be stuck at their 25% capacity. I don't really see much chance of them getting more than that for the home opener. I guess stranger things have happened, but I think we're probably dealing with about 14,000 for that game, and I still haven't heard, despite being a season ticket holder, I haven't heard any details on how those are going to be distributed. And as Vince mentioned, I do face some obstacles due to my not currently being a California resident, but there's also time to change that too. So, stranger things have happened there too. The other thing I want to follow up on, Vince talked about the deadened ball, and he talked about an analysis that our buddy Max did at @choice_fielder on Twitter about what to expect, and that the Dodgers are basically potentially one of the hardest hit teams as far as losing home runs to the deadened ball. And I wanted to look at it from a slightly different approach. I definitely think Max's approach is is valid and solid. It's not even a criticism of his approach, just here's another way of looking at things. And basically, I looked at the actual balls that the actual Dodgers hit last year and looked at, okay, because here's the background there. The MLB memo to the teams about the deadened ball said that an independent lab had found that the average long fly ball would travel 1 to 2 feet less far. And so obviously, since Rob Manfred said it, you have to take that with several grains of salt. But if that's really true, it might not be as big a deal for a lot of the Dodgers anyway, just because, you know, losing 1 to 2 feet on average, basically that's your wall scrapers that are going to turn into either doubles off the wall or flyouts at the warning track. And I was looking at, like, for example, Mookie Betts, who was predicted by Max's model to lose the most homers of any Dodger. He probably only had 1 or 2 home runs last year that barely got out. He had a lot that only got out by 5 or 6 feet. But if we're really talking about 1 or 2 feet, you know, that's the thing. Mookie, he doesn't hit a lot of super long home runs, but not a lot of wall scrapers. And so if we're really talking about 1 to 2 feet on average, then, you know, maybe he has some that only get out by 2 feet instead of 5 feet or whatever. Yes, I know that 5 minus 2 is not 1 to 2, but, you know, we're allowing for a little bit of wiggle room there. But I actually went and looked at video of all of Mookie Betts' home runs from last year, and I didn't see many that he would be losing if he lost 1 to 2 feet. Like, 1 or 2 home runs is all. You know, Chris Taylor is the one who might lose the most because he had several opposite field home runs that were a little bit shorter. And Max's analysis talked about the going opposite field, you lose more power. You hit the ball harder when you pull it anyway or hit it farther. And so that is maybe magnified with the deadened ball. And so Taylor might end up with fewer home runs. But, you know, guys like Betts doesn't concern me a lot. Bellinger's got so much power. Seager hits the ball so hard. I was looking at Corey Seager, probably he got unlucky. He probably had, I looked at all of his doubles and triples from last year, and he probably had 7, I think 6 doubles and a triple is what I saw that would have been gone, would have been home runs at Dodger Stadium. But, you know, it was a double off the wall in Colorado and a double off the wall in San Diego. And so, you know, Corey Seager, I'm not worried about him, how hard he hits the ball. And so even though, you know, the deadened ball will change things, but I'm actually optimistic that for the Dodgers, it will actually have less of an impact just because they have so many good hitters. And I think they'll make adjustments where they have to. You know, they hit line drives. Mookie Betts might have to make adjustments or whatever. A lot of these guys, Chris Taylor might have to, you know, do something. But the Dodgers, more than pretty much any team, I trust to make those adjustments that they need to. And so I am looking forward to seeing Max's analysis on pitchers just because, you know, if the Dodgers pitchers can benefit more than the Dodgers hitters are hindered by the deadened ball, then all in all, they come out ahead. So that's it for the follow-ups. I'm going to come back in a minute to talk about Tuesday night's game and some of the things we saw there. So keep it locked on Dodgers. We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is the amazingly low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Well, it's March, and you know what that means. It's time for a bracket. And this month, we're going to find out which Built Bar is the best. It's Built Bar Madness. And today's matchup, 2 matchups, you have German chocolate going up against salted caramel. Do you say caramel or caramel? Interesting. I say both sometimes. And then we have Mocha Love going up against WC Birthday Cake. And so you can vote. Obviously, you're not just finding out. You can actually have an impact. If you go to BuiltBar.com or BuiltBar on Twitter, you can vote on those things. And the other thing you do when you go to BuiltBar.com is you can buy some Built Bars. And why wouldn't you? Because they're delicious. And if you use promo code LOCKEDON20, you will get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. We're covering everything you need to know about the Dodgers, but what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Follow the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. All right, we are back, and I'm going to talk a little bit about Tuesday night's game against the Reds. The Dodgers won, I think it was 5-3 was the final, something like that. Nothing really to write home about. They had one big inning. The second inning, I think they scored 4 runs, and then they didn't do much the rest of the game until Michael Busch hit a home run in the 9th inning, and their pitching held on to win the game. Obviously, spring training games, the least important thing is the actual scoreboard result. And so a couple things that jumped out to me. First of all, between you had Josiah Gray, Ryan Pepiot, Alex Vezia, too many Ryans, and Landon Knack were all some of the prospects who pitched. And so it was kind of a fun night to watch some of the future of the Dodgers pitching staff. Gray looked really, really good. That high fastball, it must have sneaky speed, spin rate, something. I know he throws hard, but it looked like it was even seeming harder to the hitters than it was. He just blew some guys away. Pepiot, he gave up a couple runs, but his changeup, it's one of my favorite pitches I've ever seen. And then he also runs it up there in the high 90s. And so a lot of potential there. Vezia had a little bit of bad luck on batted balls, but you can see what has the Dodgers excited about him. And then Landon Knack, same thing with, he was just drafted last year. A lot of people have said he has a good chance to be the first guy from last year's draft to make the big leagues, not just for the Dodgers, but for anybody. Actually, I guess Garrett Crochet already did. Maybe a couple guys did, but definitely for the Dodgers, the first guy with a chance to make the big leagues. And you can see why. He's got really good stuff, fastball curveball combo, and looked really good. So it was fun to see the future a little bit. We also saw Scott Alexander, kind of the present, maybe the past, but he actually looked really good. He got 3 groundouts. When Alexander's command is there, he's really good because it's hard for hitters to elevate against him. He gets his share of strikeouts and he gets a lot of groundouts, which is really good. You know, if you could trust Alexander to have command, bring him in. You know, if another pitcher gets in a jam, bring Alexander in with, you know, a couple runners on and 1 out, and trust him to throw you a grounder and get a double play and get out of the inning. The problem is his command hasn't been there consistently, and so he's as likely to walk the first guy or two as he is to do anything else. And so, you know, Scott Alexander, it'll be really interesting to see what happens with him, but he did look good on Tuesday. And then the two former Brewers both looked really good. Jimmy Nelson pitched the first couple innings, 3 strikeouts in 2 innings, 6 up, 6 down, and just looked awesome. Like, I was excited when the Dodgers signed Jimmy Nelson last year, and then, you know, he never really got to play. I don't think I don't even know if he pitched in a spring training game last year at all. Just a series of injuries. He's had such a series of injuries the last few years. And he said, there was an article about him in the LA Times a few days ago. He said basically he felt an obligation to come back to the Dodgers after they gave him a chance last year. But he also talked about how much he loves the development system. One quote that I liked, he said, "Everyone is on the same page, rowing the boat in the same direction at the same speed." And he's talking about the medical staff, the coaching staff, the player development staff. Everybody's working together on these things. And that, for me, is one of the biggest things that the Dodgers have done the last several years in putting together the organization, is to put together a team of, you know, coaches and trainers and development staff and everything that really are all on the same page and all working together towards the same goal. And a lot of teams are starting to copy that, but the Dodgers kind of have it perfected. And so it's not surprising that a guy like Nelson, with his injury history, would be drawn to a team like the Dodgers, that knowing that their coaching staff and their medical staff are on the same page. That's probably really important to a guy like him. He also, we talked a week or two ago about whether or not Nelson has an opt-out, and it hadn't been reported before, but it was mentioned in that article. He does have an opt-out if he doesn't make the team, but it's actually a few weeks into the season. A lot of the time, as we talked about, those opt-outs will be near the end of spring training. It's how Brad Miller, when the Dodgers told him a few years ago that he wasn't going to make the team, he opted out and ended up playing for somebody else that year. But Nelson, he pushed back his opt-out because he isn't so dead set on making the opening day roster, but he wants an opportunity to contribute to the team. And so I think he's going to get that opportunity, and it's hard to tell where, because he is still probably eighth on the starting pitching depth chart, even after what Vince talked about with David Price being willing to pitch out of the bullpen. Maybe that moves Nelson up to seventh on the depth chart, but probably not, because Nelson has also said the same thing. He's willing to pitch in relief if that's what they need him to do. He wants to contribute. He watched his teammates last year win a World Series, and he wants to win a World Series with the Dodgers, and he wants to contribute however he can. And so that's really exciting for him, seeing how good he looks. The Dodgers might want to wait until they have to make that decision, just because they would have to open up a 40-man roster spot for him. They do have Tommy Canley still ready to go on the 60-day injured list, and so that would open up one spot, but you also have Brandon Morrow. You potentially have one or two other guys who maybe might be pushing to make the roster, but it seems like Nelson and Morrow are the two main ones, and we still don't know, at least I haven't seen, whether Morrow has a similar opt-out, and so that could play a part. If Morrow has an earlier opt-out than Nelson, we haven't seen Morrow in a game yet, or I think we saw him once. I can't remember for sure, but I know we haven't seen him a lot, and so I don't know where he's at in his progression and how ready he's going to be on opening day. But it's going to be interesting to see what they do there, because Jimmy Nelson is doing everything he can to earn a spot on the roster, whether it's in the rotation or in the bullpen. He has looked really good. Corey Knebel, his former teammate and current teammate, also looked really good and has looked really good. He is more of a sure thing to make the team just because he's actually on the 40-man roster and expected to be on the 26-man roster. He's making $6 million or whatever. He doesn't have options, all those things. At least I don't think he has options. And so he's going to be in the bullpen, and he's looking really good. His stuff, he looks like he's back. And if the Dodgers can really get Jimmy Nelson and Corey Knebel back to their old selves, they were basically the star starter and the star reliever for the Brewers in 2017. And if the Dodgers can get that is really, really good for them. Other than that, it was kind of not a boring game. We saw some decent offense. We saw, it was a spring training game, but it was a good example of, if you know what to look for, and if you're looking for things other than the actual result of the game, there was a lot to see in Tuesday night's game, and I really enjoyed watching it. So I'm going to take one more break, and when I come back, I'm going to talk about the roster cuts that are coming up on Monday with some predictions for what those might be. So keep it locked on Dodgers. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football's over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Fantasy baseball addicts, you now have a new resource to help give you an advantage in your leagues. Locked On Fantasy Baseball. It's a daily fantasy baseball podcast hosted by veteran fantasy analyst Scott Cullen, who uses data and nearly two decades of fantasy baseball experience to offer the strategies and waiver wire pickups that lead to league wins. Season-long fantasy, dynasty leagues, DFS, Locked On Fantasy Baseball covers it all. Subscribe to Locked On Fantasy Baseball wherever you get your podcasts. All right, I am back. Before the game on Tuesday, Dave Roberts said that they would probably do their first round of cuts on Monday. Basically, he said that it's pretty crowded in that locker room, and the Dodgers have a little over 70 guys in camp right now, and obviously they need to get it down to 26 by opening day, and so it makes sense that it is time to do the first round of cuts. And so I just want to talk a little bit about that. Some, I don't know if I'd say predictions for who's going to get cut, but talk a little bit about the guys we can expect to be cut at different times in spring training. Basically, there's three categories of guys who might be up to be cut. in this first round of cuts. You've got your prospects who are real prospects, but don't really have any chance of making the opening day roster. You know, guys like Devin Mann and Miguel Vargas, Jacob Amaya, Michael Bush, Cody Hosey, Michael Grove, Josiah Gray, some of those guys who, you know, real legit prospects who we're excited to see in the future, but probably not opening day 2021. I don't know if those guys, you might as, I can see it going either way, whether, you know, you want to reward these prospects with a little bit more time in camp, or if they're the easiest ones to say, okay, I know that we're not ready for Michael Bush at the big league level, so let's get him out of camp and get some of the other guys some more time. I can see it going either way, but I kind of lean towards a lot of it comes down to what these guys are going to do after they're cut from camp, because it's not a regular spring training. You don't have the minor league camp going on as much, and so obviously the more highly touted the prospect, the more important it is to keep him getting good work in, and so that might be a reason to keep some of these guys. So we might see a mix and match of some of those things. Some of those guys stay on the roster. Some of them are part of this first round of cuts. The next category that I was thinking about was guys with major league experience who are in camp on minor league deals, and they just don't really have a chance of making the roster. You know, you got Mike Kickham, you got Elliot Soto, you got Ronel Ravelo. These guys who really, in my mind, they were signed as minor league depth. For me, Matt Davidson falls into that category too, but I do think the Dodgers maybe want to give him a little bit longer look, even though I don't believe he actually has any chance at making the opening day roster, unless there's some major injury problems. But those guys, Kickham, Soto, and Ravelo are the big ones for me that they don't have a chance. They're minor league depth, and so I wouldn't be surprised at all to see all three of them as part of this first round of cuts. And then the third category is guys who are on the 40-man roster. You know, the first group that I was talking about, those are non-roster invites. But these guys who are on the 40-man roster who are real prospects, but also no real chance at opening day roster. You know, Andre Jackson, Mitch White, even though he pitched in the majors last year, I just don't see him having a legitimate shot at the opening day roster. Luke Rayleigh, Zach Rex, some of those guys who... you know, they're on the 40-man roster. They'll probably get some big league time this year, but not on opening day. I think I would expect those guys to be in the later round of cuts, unless they really, really need to get the numbers down a lot in this first round. And so because of that, I tend to think that first group, the prospects who aren't on the 40-man roster, I think we're going to see a lot of them cut just because there aren't many guys in that second category. And so in order to make meaningful cuts, for Roberts hinted that it's going to be quite a few guys. It seems like you're going to have to go with a lot of those non-roster invitee prospect types, like Mann and Amaya and Vargas, Bush, Hosey, Grove, Gray, those kind of guys. There's other ones too. So that's kind of my guess. I don't think we're going to see anything surprising. I don't think there's anybody who you're thinking right now has a chance at the roster, the opening day roster, who's going to get cut on Monday. This is going to be the guys who everybody kind of already agrees they're not going to be on the opening day roster. So it will be interesting to see, and it's been fun watching these guys, like I was talking about in the last segment, you know, watching the future pitching, you know, with Josiah Gray and Ryan Pepiot and those guys. It was a lot of fun. You know, Bobby Miller is another guy who we've seen who probably falls in that category of not going to make the opening day roster. So he might be part of the first round of cuts. You know, it will be interesting to see. And I'm especially interested to hear what the Dodgers' plan is for the rest of camp for these guys. And going back to what Jimmy Nelson was saying about everybody working in the same direction, rowing in the same direction, whatever it was, I do expect the Dodgers to have a good plan and execute it well for these guys. And so it's not that big a deal who gets cut from the big league side. I think they will be able to get their work in, but it will be different than we usually see at this time of spring training just because of the roster rules. So I think that's going to wrap it up for today, other than, of course, as we've mentioned, this week we are giving clues about the top five names on a particular Dodgers leaderboard, starting with number five on Monday and finishing with number one on Friday. And once you have all five names, all you got to do is figure out what the leaderboard is and then email all five names and what the leaderboard is, and you will be entered to win. And I will give you the email address in a minute in case you don't have it. But the clue for today for number three on this leaderboard is this two-time All-Star played his entire 12-year career with the Dodgers, and in the last at-bat of his career, drove in the only Dodgers run in their 5-1 loss to the cheating Astros in Game 7 of the 2017 World Series of Cheaters. So that is your clue for today. Once you listen to all five episodes this week and have all five names, figure out the leaderboard and send us an email and you will be entered for a chance to win. We're going to be giving away at least one prize, which will be the Walker Buehler Foco bobblehead that came out last week and sold out in 7 minutes. I happened to order an extra one, and so we'll be giving one of those away. We may do a couple giveaways, so be sure to listen every day. Thank you for listening. If you haven't yet subscribed to Locked On Dodgers, please do so now. If you have Apple Podcasts, even if you don't use it, go ahead and subscribe there to help other people find us. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio, and I'm on Twitter at Snydog. DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and that is the preferred method of entry into this contest, just so that we have all the entries in one place. I've gotten some DMs already, some of you guessing at the leaderboard ahead of time via Twitter DM, and let's just say that even though one or two of you did guess correctly, let's get a little bit better at following instructions, folks. We said wait till all five and email. I know you guys can handle this. You're better than that. But I do appreciate hearing from you guys anyway. You can leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text anytime you want at 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!